Before we get cooking here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, I have to tell you about an amazing free event. Yes, free on Saturday, September 30th, this Saturday, noon to 3, the Italian Street Festival at Brandon Auto Mall, Alfa Romeo. Ira is going to be there. It's free family fun, homemade pizza, authentic Italian food, face painting, gelato. It's all free. There are great Alfa Romeo gifts when you test drive the brand new Alfa Romeo SUV, a first for Alfa Romeo in 2018. All the details are at joebucksfan.com. You can't miss it. Great food, fun, music for the whole family. And, of course, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is going to be there talking football. He's even got some gifts to give away. Great time to get a selfie with the Sage. Ed Morse, Brandon Auto Mall, Alfa Romeo. Be there. All the details at joebucksfan.com.
All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you, he's your buddy, he loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. This time we're live at One Buck Palace, taping on Wednesday. Ira, good to see you. You're looking good. And we've got Mr. Lee D. Kemper back with us from his from the Great White North, although it was hot as hell. And we can talk about that later. I'm Steve Isbitz, Ira, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. We just heard John Gruden rave about you that you're a genius. You watch practice. You know everything. How are you today, Ira?
I'm well. You know, we need somebody, Lee, we need somebody in the locker room to take Mike Kanan's role. It's been a couple of years of absence for Kanan, but he did a strong Kaufman impression. He was very, very good. When I would walk into that corner with him and DePaulo, back
some heavy hitters you're hanging with, huh?
At some heavy hitters, and then you had, you know, Patrick Murray over there in the corner for a while, and Connor Barth. Kanan would come up with a dead on, you know, impression of yours truly. A couple of times he would start talking and people would drift back to him saying, "Hey, Ira, what's that story you're talking about?" And they realize it's Kanan, and I'm over there on the other side of the room. So we need somebody to step up. Who's
McCoy
gonna
do it?
You know, DeMar Dotson. Are you going to do a Kaufman Dotson? What's going on?
I remember Kanan doing that. They were pretty good.
They were
I have to say they were pretty good.
I'll tell you what. You know, one thing we notice in the locker room, Lee, every week, there's a fierce ping pong game going on.
Yeah.
Every week. Today was Brent Grimes out there looking pretty sharp.
Yeah, if you want to believe his shoulder's better, the right shoulder's got to be pretty good.
He was slamming that ball pretty good over there, Steven.
Ping pong's not exactly NFL football.
Speaking of Grimes, I'll say it right now. I expect Brent Grimes back on the field. And if he's iffy, the side of Odell Beckham is, I think, going to tilt it in favor from Mr. Cutter and Mr. Light to say, let's get 24 on the field. And boy, do they need him.
Last Sunday up
and
in
you
Minnesota.
Were there. And you were there.
Well, when the inactives came out 90 minutes before and Grimes was on the inactive list, I knew they were going to take a hit. I didn't know they were going to collapse like they did. The secondary, that is. Secondary just absolutely collapsed without Grimes. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Now, Steve had a great line. The Bucks were giving Vikings receivers more cushion than he's seen in the rooms to go out. Why they were doing that? That was a faulty game plan by Smith.
You know, it's funny he mentioned that, Steve, because one of the things McCoy said today, and he opened with a statement, which I know you want to get to, but when McCoy started talking about the Vikings game, and there weren't any excuses, I asked him, you cut any slack towards for the defense for having all these injuries? Absolutely not. No excuses, next man up. And that's a good mantra to have, and Mike Smith said the same. One of the things that McCoy said about the lack of, you know, getting Keenan off his spot or putting Keenan on the ground, he said they got the balls off in 2.5 seconds most times. You know why they got the ball off in 2.5 seconds? Because there was a 10-yard cushion.
Yeah.
And it reminded me a little bit, and I hate to say this, of the Lovie Smith defense.
No, it did.
And we complained about it all the time, and Hargraves was supposed to be more aggressive this year. Then you got the Grimes factor, Lee. It is a factor.
Sure, it's a factor.
You lose the one, you know, we talked about the most indispensable Bucks during the summer. Obviously, Winston's number one. I think you guys pointed to Quan Alexander, and I think I said don't count out Brent Grimes. Steve, it was a devastating absence for Brent Grimes because then Hargraves is your number one and everything kind of gets shaken up and the game plan gets affected.
Well, still undefeated, of course, Ira, is Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. You can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind right now at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. With their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs, all our certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMoore'sCadillacBrandon.com. Financing for a limited term with approved credit on select Cadillac certified pre-owned models. The dealer has all the details. And Ira, also, of course, Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. The savings rush is on there. Get clearance pricing on every 2017 in stock. It's that time of year. Every 2017 in stock. Every 2017 must go. Rush to Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa or visit EdMoore'sCadillacTampa.com.
Well, here's why I had an issue with the game plan. If they were giving up as much cushion as everybody and their brother saw, which was the issue, that could be corrected in two plays. Just start yelling, get up there, you know? They didn't do that.
And, Steve, how do you give up? How do you have a cushion like that and still get beat deep several times? That's a double whammy, Steve. Double whammy. You're given a cushion so you don't give up an explosive play.
Yeah, that's the double whammy. If you're going to do that, you certainly can't get beat deep, and the Bucks did, and Hargraves did. But before we head back there, Ira, let's go back. Let's take the listeners into the locker room. They're now sitting on your shoulder, soaking in your sage wisdom. I see you in the corner there. You're working over Mike Evans. Nobody else is there. You got him and Cam Braid into some sort of something going on. You're always sucking on to these guys to get information. Give us a couple of your impressions that you pulled out today, what you walked out of that locker room.
Well, I talked to Marpet, who I enjoy talking to. And by the way, his whole family's coming, you know, from the New York area. They're all going to be in town for this game.
I thought they lived down here.
And well, I don't know, but they're coming.
He's got a sister that goes Eckerd. I know that much.
They're coming, and they're going to be in the parking lot. And I remember I remember seeing them in the parking lot last year. And it's quite a family.
In the parking lot. What are they doing in the parking lot? Panhandling what?
Steve, I asked them directly. I said, did Warhop work you over for some of those errant snaps? He goes, Ira, what's he going to say? I did my best, but I was screwing up, you know, left and right. I got to practice it. And he agreed with me that Jameis Winston, on several occasions, Lee, made some acrobatic saves. And the one thing I said to Brate was, you know, Cam, you know, you made some nice plays on Sunday. The best play you made was probably on that dying quail by Winston, which could have been pick number four, for all we know. That could have been a fourth pick. And he goes, yeah, I jumped right on it when I saw that ball hanging in the air like a piece of low-hanging fruit. That was a fantastic play by Brate, hustling to that ball. Another bonehead decision by Winston that would have gotten him reamed out uncontrollably, I believe, by Cutter on the sideline. If that would have ended up in the Vikings' hands, because it reminded me of a play in the Jacksonville exhibition game. He's got to be beyond that, gentlemen.
Well, you're
beyond.
You're teaming me up here, Ira. No one has defended Jameis more than me. No one.
How about J.P. Peterson? Close second.
Well, I don't think J.P. Peterson's gone to the extremes I have. I'll just say this.
He doesn't have the same audience either. What the hell?
Yeah. Who nice. Nicely done,
who
Sage.
Who listens to that show?
Nicely
Come on.
Done, Sage.
I'll say this.
Well, he's an FSU guy.
When you're talking about, you know, Winston got reamed out, it obviously isn't getting through to him. We saw Hard Knocks. That's what we know. What we don't know is how many other times he's gotten reamed out. It obviously isn't getting through to him. It clearly isn't. Steve's written about this. It's not getting through.
Take your sack. Take
well,
it.
It's getting to the point, like, what got at Florida State, what got Jameis' attention? He got suspended. And he admitted. He goes, that woke me up. I wasn't in the game. It's almost getting to the point where, like, son, if you don't understand this, we can't have you losing games for us.
Now, you know and I know that that's not going to happen, Lee.
Do you know that?
Have you seen Fitzpatrick throw a 30-yard ball?
Yeah, and I've also seen Winston almost throw four interceptions in a game. If that's what it takes, you got your investment. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
I understand.
And I love Winston.
Steve,
I understand
James. Lee's point.
But if the reaming isn't getting through, then you have to go to the next level.
His instincts take over in that situation, Steve, and his instincts say, I'm going to make a play out of this, and nine times out of ten,
you know,
you're not.
I don't want to hear this. He's 23 years old anymore. He's got 34 games under his belt?
This will be start number 35.
Yeah, sorry about the 23 games. And I'm as guilty as anyone. I always compare him to Brett Favre, and I don't have the notes in front of me. I glanced at Favre's numbers in his third year. He didn't have any kind of interceptions like this. And I might add, Favre recovered from his own mistakes and won games with his own arm. I can only think of a couple of games where the Bucs said, Or you could say, you know, the Bucks won because of Jameis's arm. I can only think a couple of games.
He's not playing bad, Steve, but he's not playing good enough.
Well, it's two games in, and it, look, that was a bad game by Jameis, even though the numbers, you know, fantasy-wise or whatever you want to call it, you know, percentage-wise don't look too bad. He didn't play a great game, and that dying quail he threw up to that only got back to the line of scrimmage where Braid saved his ass.
Grace of God.
That got lost in the shuffle, but right. It still happened.
Yeah, you throw that out of bounds. You throw that out of bounds.
Yeah, easy.
The underthrow to DeSean Jackson, that's criminal. That's criminal.
Yeah. There are some quarterbacks who are masterful at throwing the ball away into the ground.
Yes.
Just throw it in the ground.
And you live another day.
Jameis throws it straight up in the air and hopes for a prayer. But let's go back to the locker room, Ira, for your sage wisdom. What else did you get out of today patrolling around?
Well, I thought it was interesting because I saw McCoy coming. So he walks all the way down to his locker. So I immediately jump on it because I know he talks on Wednesdays. I'm in the lead. I'm in the pole position, DeKemper. I'm ahead of everybody. And as I approach McCoy with my tape recorder, and I'm ready to go, you know, and everybody's lagging behind me, all of a sudden McCoy starts sprinting away from his locker towards the middle of the locker room. And guess what? By the time he does that, now I'm in last position.
Yeah.
I'm behind everybody. You know, Jenna Lane's ahead of me. I can't have that, DeKemper. So I'm ready to ask a question, you know, about the defense. And I was going to ask, does he, you know, cut the defense any slack because of the missing guys? That was going to be my first. And the same thing I asked to Mike Smith. And he said, I want to make a statement. And, you know, everybody hushed up. And he retracted and apologized for calling President Trump, I think, retarded. In the heat of the passion last week. And so he wanted to make that statement. Now, look, I don't want to get too political here, guys, but I will say this. And I said this to McCoy in private 20 minutes later. I walked down to his locker. He was talking to one of the Buck people. I interrupted. He looked at me like, what are you doing here? And I said, I've got a statement, not a question, Gerald. So he goes, all right, what do you got to say?
Is this one of your hallway?
Yeah. No, this was down by his locker. He was talking to one of the Buck guys.
I know who you're talking about, the guy, the Bucks guy, and have no idea what he does.
Yeah, and I interrupted. Hey, they were in a conversation. I interrupted. McCoy's looking at me,
you
know.
Not so much time, yeah.
And, you know, like, what the hell is this guy doing down here? I talked for 15 minutes. And I go, I got a statement, Gerald. And I said to him, I go, look, I don't have a tape recorder going. All I want to say is, wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be lovely if the leader of the free world would retract some of his statements on occasion and apologize. And McCoy just looked at me. And Alan Barrett was the Bucks guy. And he just.
Oh, I thought it was just somebody
else. That was Alan Barrett. And as I walked away, Alan Barrett goes, remember that, Kaufman. Next time you make a mistake on Joe Bucks fan and we catch you with an error, don't be afraid to apologize, Ira. And so I walked away, and Gerald just looked at me, and he knew what I meant. But he didn't want to say anything about it. So, look, McCoy felt bad about what he said. He also said, I think at this point we should all pray for the White House and the presidency. I believe he also said that.
I don't know. I wasn't listening to that part, only a little bit. But
see,
we
you're
actually
all about the X's and O's.
Well, wait a minute, Ira. We've got a great video, Rock Riley videoed for that, us for that, and it's up on JoeBucksFan.com if anybody wants to check that out.
He felt bad about calling the president a derogatory
term. That was a classy move of him.
And he thought it was disrespectful.
That was a classy move of McCoy.
We are selling, by the way, Make Ira Great Again hats if anybody wants to purchase them at Joe Bucks Fan.
You know what's funny about that? And I have said this for 2 years. I mean, since Trump started running. Now, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, although Izbits wouldn't know anything political. All during the campaign, I was telling my wife, my friends, anybody, my three friends, I was saying,
that you play tennis with.
Guys, Trump has been asked 3,068 questions during this campaign. But here's the question he hasn't been asked. An elementary question. When's the last time America was great? Nobody ever asked him that. It would have been a very telling
80s.
Answer.
80s.
He might have said Ronald Reagan. Yep. He might have. So that's a slap at George W. Bush or the older Bush or whatever.
Not that he's ever done that.
Could somebody ask him that question, Steve? He's got the hat on every day. He's saying it every day during the campaign. Nobody ever asked, what are you referring to? I don't understand what the White House press corps is doing. That would never get past this Buccaneer Media Corps. We ask the tough questions.
You know,
around
North
here.
Korea insurance, hurricanes, weather calamities. Ira wants to know when it was America great.
We ask the tough questions, like when I said to Mike Smith, hey, who showed up positive on Sunday? Those are the tough, riveting questions that Javier and Buck fans want to know all about, and Port Richie Lou. That was for you, Lou. Who showed up on Sunday? And what did Mike Smith say, Lee? What was his answer when I asked him?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Doesn't that say it all, Steve?
I tell you what, Ira. Steve was written not to get all panicky and everything. Tell you what, I saw that locker room after the game. You know, we all saw the game, but I saw that locker room after the game. Ira, I swear on a stack of Bibles, I can never remember an NFL team physically beat up like they were. I mean, they got taken to the woodshed. They were beat up. For example, Vernon Hargraves. Talk to Vernon Hargraves. Bandages all up and down his shins. He was beat up.
Usually the lesser aggressive team, sure. Steve, the lesser physical team, takes the beating.
Oh, when is the last time you saw player after player after player on defense wind up in an emergency room like the Bucs were? And we're not talking about slackies. T.J. Ward, Gerald McCoy, Lavonnie David. Oh, my gosh. On and on and on and on. These guys, I mean, just beat to a pulp.
Steve, I understand Lee's concerns, and I think he speaks for a lot of Buck Nation. But, Steve, I got to say right now, the way this league is, through 3 weeks, it's early. You know, the Steelers lose to the Bears. We all saw the Bears' horrible performance. The Dolphins lay an egg against a team that I'm not sure they're trying to win. The Jets administration. The Raiders don't show up in the nation's capital. Baltimore doesn't show up in London. They leave their game behind, five time zones away after they looked so good the first 2 weeks. So, Steve, what I'm saying is, and the Dotson said it, you know, you hear it as a cliche, it's a week-to-week league. I think it's never been more so than this early part of the season. And, Lee, if the Bucs win on Sunday, which I think they will, the worst they can be is 2-2 in the first quarter of season, so the sky's not falling.
Well, here's the difference between those other teams. I thought you were going to have a Piccadilly Circus reference there for Baltimore. I was waiting for that, but you didn't.
They were dreadful.
Well, it's one thing to be dreadful. It's another thing to be taken out into the alley and beaten with a lead pipe like the Bucs were. I mean, it was incredible. Here's how bad the Bucs got beat up. They got beat up so bad, even Jenna Lane almost wound up in an emergency room. she had an accident at the game, and she fell down a flight of stairs. So that's how bad it was for the Bucs that Jenna Lane was even on the injury report.
You were not in the vicinity when this happened. You did not stick a leg out or anything.
No, not at all. What happened was that she was sitting to my left in the press box, and of course she has duties with ESPN, and occasionally she'll be on the field. And I kind of thought to myself, well, where's Jenna? Because I saw her before the game. And it was around the end of the second quarter. Where's Jen? Oh, she's out doing something. Well, she showed up right before halftime, and she goes, look, Lee, look what happened to me. And she was all skinned up on her legs, and I guess she sprained her wrist. So that's how bad it was for the Bucs. The ESPN beat writer even got
it extended
torched.
To the media corps, but you're lucky you weren't there.
I've never seen anything like it. Lavonnie David's look on his face. I got a picture when he was being carted to the locker room. It wasn't a great picture, and Steve posted on JoeBucksFan.com that afternoon. I've never seen the look of fear on Lavonnie David's face. I mean, he was scared to death of what happened. They almost had to carry him in. I'm not exaggerating this in any way, shape, or form. They almost had to carry him off the court. Off the cart.
But thankfully,
into the locker
Lee,
room.
It's not as bad as it looks.
That's
word.
And it did look bad. Even Cutter said. I mean, they had three guys. Lavonnie David had three guys to help him. He couldn't put any weight on it at all.
Steve, am I the only guy in this town that'll take a couple of pot shots at the coaching staff?
No,
am I the only guy?
No, Ira. No, not at all. We've been reading you. We've been listening to you. But let me pull this back into this week, the reality of this week, because I think that's important. That's what's on the minds of Bucs fans right now. Yes, the Bucs were train wrecked, you know, up in Minnesota, beaten physically down. And we learned by the basic deductive reasoning today, Wednesday, even though we're recording this before the injury report comes out, it's going to be no Quan Alexander and no Lavonnie David on Sunday against the Giants, which is disastrous. Let's face it. It's disastrous.
Challenging.
Disastrous.
Disastrous.
It's a little strong.
Now, I'm in with Steve. Disastrous.
You can overcome something that's disastrous, Ira, but it's a bad situation. That's very dicey. Very dicey.
Now, wait. I'm stopping you right there. But if I asked you right now, you got your choice as a Buck fan. All right, Alexander's off the table. He's not playing. You can have Lavonnie David or you can have Grimes back. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Grimes.
I'm taking Grimes.
I'm taking Grimes.
But how, we don't know he's back or not.
But we don't know. That's right.
But that's like, you know, if I hate meat, right? That's like offering me a pork or a hamburger. I don't like either one. Here's the thing, Ira. The reality is the Giants are 0-3. The Giants are 0-3. And you know what? They have a ton of problems. Their offense has been brutal, except for the fourth quarter against the Eagles when they had that rousing comeback, almost
and
won.
And Beckham awakened.
But you know what? They scored zero in the first three quarters, and they're 0-3. What they score that they scored 3 points against Dallas in the opener, 10 against Detroit the next week, and they got blown out by Detroit.
And those are not elite defenses.
No.
Far from it.
No. So the Giants stink. You know, we can pretend 0-3 Giants, but they're also, but it also goes to the what you're talking about, the crazy NFL of this season. Giants were 11-5 last year. You know, there's a lot of talent there, and obviously their troika of receivers against this bunch that the Bucs have back there is scary. So it's a scary game, but I just don't think it's a sky is falling situation because the Giants suck. Now, if you lose to the Giants, then there's no reason that you would think you'd beat New England.
The Giants are not bereft of talent, Lee. They got the secondary's good, excellent receivers, weapons for Manning. But the offensive line is atrocious, and Manning is immobile. And look at his age. They don't run the ball well. They got some problems, Lee, that the Bucs might be able to exploit.
I don't believe that for a second. The Bucs can't rush the pass, can't rush the quarterback to save their freaking lives.
This offensive line's bad, Lee. It's bad.
And so's the Bucs' pass rush. It's a wash. It's an absolute wash. I'm on the ledge here, guys. I really am. This team very easily, this whole season could very easily unravel Sunday, spiral downward. I literally am on the ledge. I'm not joking. You know, we got a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback that's going to be playing against the likes of Ryan Smith.
But, Steve, if you get Grimes back, everything kind of falls back into place.
In some ways.
DJ Ward will play.
In some ways. But let me take you back then. Okay. If you get Grimes back, and based on his ping pong, he looked very fit. And we'll see. Again, we are recording this right before the Bucs injury list comes out.
We don't have a preliminary injury report.
So right now, for all we know, as people listen to this Thursday morning, and, of course, they can listen on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, JoeBucsFan.com, all the places.
Grimes is going to be on the injury report. He's going to be on.
He might not be.
Yeah, he might not be.
If he's practicing full go, he's practicing full go, and that means he's ready. So we don't know. So let's not spend a ton of time on that. But let's go back to Hargraves, because he is going to play Sunday. And Ira, Hargraves was brutal. Okay, he was brutal. We touched on that early, but he was terrible. And this is a guy who, in his first chance to show that he is a number one cornerback, the guy was number 12 overall draft pick, his first shot, he craps the bed. And you know what? Week one against the Bears, he was the only guy who didn't play too well. In the secondary, he had a penalty. He had some cushion. He let up the one touchdown at the end of the game to Glennon that cost the shutout. Two games in, he's bad.
Lee, he played without confidence. That's what struck me about Sunday. He played without confidence. And I want to see a little more swag from a first-round draft pick.
Well, swag only gets you so far. I mean, you can go out there and be the cockiest SOB there is. But you still got to produce.
Supposed to be the new Hargraves.
Well, I don't know how much. I'll take Sunday, for example. You know, how many times were we talking about the cushions? Was it Hargraves, or was he put in a bad position by the game plan? I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was a bad game plan, and that put him in a bad position. The cushions, I mean.
And I think Smith kind of acknowledged as much from the podium that he didn't do a good job on Sunday. And no, he didn't.
Come on, Ira, he's going to say that every week.
But he didn't do a good job.
The evidence is clear he didn't.
Yeah. It's interesting. Well, we're going to find out. But why would Hargraves give that kind of cushion? We heard them all offseason say, Vernon's got to be more aggressive. This is the more aggressive Vernon Hargraves,
right.
More aggressive Hargraves.
Right.
We didn't see it. Now, what I thought was interesting from Smith is he said today, well, Vernon was close on a couple of those pass defenses. what the hell does
yeah,
that?
That's a
EJ Biggers used to be close. EJ Biggers was close.
You know. Has it got an EJ Biggers reference over here? DeKemper?
You know, Danny Gore almost won a couple of games for us. What
that's
is this?
That's
you
outstanding.
All right. So the Giants, the Bucks. You know, we're 25 minutes into the podcast here. So you know what? Let's.
They had a bad game, Steve. They had a bad game. The Redskins had a bad game.
Oh,
the Steelers had a bad game. The Ravens had a bad game.
Yep.
New England had a bad game week one against the Chiefs. It's happening all over this league. Now, if this becomes a pattern, then we're on the DeKemper path.
I'm more of, like I said, I the way they got the hell beat out of them. Not score-wise, not yardage-wise. Physically, that was more than a bad
game. I didn't
think
they were overconfident like they were in 2016, week two.
Well,
I didn't think it was a case of overconfidence.
I'll throw something out at you now that you bring that up.
I'm saying it was a lack of confidence, well, Steve, with the cushions.
Steve, we all know Steve had that breaking story. He talked to DeMar Dotson, Joe Hall in the locker room after the Arizona game.
He's been living off that story for more than a year.
As he should.
And, you know, Dotson fessed up and said, hey, a lot of these guys on this team, they thought the game was won because we beat Atlanta. And I point blank asked Dotson Sunday afternoon in the locker room. I said, you know, last year you told Steve that a lot of these guys thought you had the game won because you beat Atlanta. Well, you'd had a hell of a game, you guys had a hell of a game against the Bears. Did that same attitude creep up that you had this game won? And Dotson kind of, at first he chuckled and he smiled. And he's like, I hope not.
Well, it was the Bears, Steve. That's another point. Who'd you beat? You beat the Bears. They're a bad team. I don't care that they just beat the Steelers. That's a bad team.
Well, here's another one for you. I know Steve keeps wanting to go to the Giants, and we keep talking about Minnesota. Here's one I threw out there, and I spoke with someone I trust on the Bucks, and he didn't exactly deny this, but he sure as heck didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to use it as an excuse. But, you know, the flu bug ravaged the locker room. I asked him, I'm shutting my phone off. This is not for the record. So how many guys do you think are trying to play through a flu? Like, they want to man up. They want to be a man. They don't want to admit they have the flu. And he didn't deny it. He kind of dismissed it. He didn't deny it, but he did say one thing. He goes, there's probably guys on his team that have the flu that don't even know it. You know, they're exhausted. And I tell you what, if you want to reach for an excuse, they played like 22 guys playing an NFL game with the flu. That's how bad it was.
If they win Sunday, Steve, I will give them a pass for the Vikings game.
Oh, sure.
If they win Sunday. if they don't, passes are rescinded, gentlemen, because then you got a two-game losing streak, and here comes Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, does anybody, their brother, anyone think that they're going to beat the Patriots? No.
Well, I mean, New England will be favored, you know, by, you know, 7, and we'll see what happens.
I'll buy you a lunch at the Lucky Dill if the Bucks beat the Patriots. My dime.
Look, the last time you boys wanted to bet me something, it cost Isbitz $20.
Next Thursday's podcast, we will have – it would be a game day podcast. We'll get to really dive into some of those wagers.
Game day podcast. Nice.
But let's get to the game at hand, Ira. Let me ask for your sage wisdom here, because this is important to a lot of fans. Home game, sage wisdom, sell out. Do you believe – 5 games in a row now, the Bucks have won at home. 5-game winning streak.
And the defense has played extremely well in those 5 games.
Do you believe now that there is a legitimate home field advantage for the Buccaneers?
I think it's building. Now, the Kemper, there might be a few New York fans sprinkled in this crowd on Sunday. I say that facetiously. We all know they're going to turn out in force.
Sure.
And there's going to be some New England fans in force out there. You know, there will be. That's just the way it is. We live in Tampa, and the Bucks haven't been very good for a long time.
Wait, I got to interject. Today,
I'm on a roll over here.
This is too funny. It's too funny not to interject, right? So you asked Mike Evans a question today, something about the home game of the Giants.
What do you expect from the crowd?
Yeah, what do you expect from the crowd? And Mike Evans says to you, of all people, he says to you, there seem to be a lot of Giant fans around, a lot of New Yorkers around here, I think. And meanwhile, he's talking to a guy from Brooklyn.
I had to suppress a laugh over there. I
that was
did.
Too funny.
He's talking to a guy with the worst Brooklyn accent in the Bay Area.
I think great Brooklyn accent.
But
so go ahead.
Look, I think the Bucks are starting to feed off that home crowd, especially the Buck defense. Now, look, is it 2002? No, far from it. The personnel's far from it, and the crowd's far from it. But the game is sold out, Lee, as is the Patriots game. They have won 5 in a row at home, and I believe they've given up 49 points. There's your stat of the day in those 5 games. Meanwhile, they got a 3-game road losing streak, and they're giving up 30 points a game in those games. That means Dallas, New Orleans, and this latest debacle against Minnesota. Defense is playing much better at home recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to continue because as much talent as the Giants have in terms of the array of targets around Manning, it's not a very good offense. Steve's pointed out they've really struggled on offense. Defense has been okay. The offense has really been a culprit for the Giants. And if you can't get past this offensive line and an immobile quarterback, not that Keenan's a mover, but, you know, now as I said that, you know what ran through my mind? The Vikings have four new offensive line starters, and the Bucs couldn't push Keenan off his spot. That's a little scary.
I'm telling you, that goes in your column there. I'm telling you, this is, you know, I'm on the ledge.
But if you're
really
on the ledge, imagine what the Giant, what are Giant fans thinking? Lee, they're 0-3.
Yeah, oh, they have reason to panic. They have absolutely reason to panic.
Even 0-3, your chances of making the playoffs statistically, Steve, they're very, very low.
Well, by the way.
And 0-4, you're done.
You're talking about, you thought the Giants had a good defense? Well, I hope I can see this. Isbitz will edit this out if you can't, you know, because obviously this is a G-rated podcast. Well, three-fingered Brown up there with the Giants, defensive end.
JPP, yeah.
Yep.
He'll be going up against Dotson, I believe.
Well, the New York Post quoted him as saying, goddamn defense. Quote, unquote. They used that in a headline.
Steve, this is a winnable game for the Bucs, and they got to go out and take care of business.
So
they got to be embarrassed over last week.
You gave me the roundabout, Sally, the Brooklyn Circle over here.
That's what we do here.
Is this a legitimate home field advantage now for the Bucs, where this will come into play for this game here?
The numbers say it absolutely is building a home field advantage. Five-game winning streak, Lee.
Brooklyn Circle.
and among the victims, Seattle. They made Russell Wilson look like a clown.
Sure.
Drew Brees. Looked like Case Keenum's younger brother. And this happened. Now, I'm not going to count Mike Glennon, you know. But they've had some quality wins where the defense really played strongly. And I think you're going to get another one on Sunday. I keep going back to Grimes. I think Grimes is critical because then you can give Hargraves help, and Grimes doesn't need a lot of help. It gives Mike Smith flexibility.
Sure.
Without Grimes, he's up the creek.
Well, I'll be honest with you about T.J. Ward. I talked to him today, and I said, hey, you know, you're going to be okay for Sunday? He shrugs his shoulders like, day to day. So, you know. And by the way, and both Steve and I have written stories about this, Ward's snap counts are bouncing up, and Mr. Tandy's are going down. Not Conte. It's Tandy. It's going down.
That's right. And, Steve, one thing we haven't touched on, and Mike Smith said it is a concern, and – I think that's an understatement. One of the things that saved the Bucs bacon last year in a 9-win season is a third-down defense, which wasn't third in the league. It led the league. Mm-hmm. Number one in the league. And I say that when the rushing defense overall last year was kind of pedestrian.
Yeah, it's mediocre.
So that even, you know, gives it more credence that they did a hell of a job on third down. And, Steve, I believe the number is 52% this year against, where last year it was 34% opponents converting.
It's a big difference.
52% this season. Unacceptable to Mike Smith, and it should be.
Well, I heard him use the word unacceptable. And if you're going to use the word unacceptable, that means heads need to roll if things aren't getting done. So I love Mike Smith, but if you start using the word unacceptable, then drastic measures need to be changed.
Isbitz thinks that the Bucs.
You're always telling me what I think.
Somebody has to. Isbitz suggests that the Bucs blitzed extensively, quote, extensively, against the Vikings, and guess what? They didn't get there. You were at the game, Lee. Did you notice extensive blitzing by Levante David and the group?
They were blitzing a lot. Nothing was happening, like Steve said. And, you know, Belichick tried this once against Manning's brother, Peyton. He tried blitzing, it wasn't working. Belichick said, you know what? I know Peyton Manning's not going to run the ball. I'm going to a two-man front on passing downs. I'm going to drop nine guys. Why is that off the table? Or why should that be off the table? I don't think it shouldn't. If you can't blitz, and you sure as heck can't rush the passer, why not?
And you said you were talking to Robert Ayers today, Steve. I got a lot of respect for Robert Ayers as a leader in this locker room. I credit him in large measure to laying down the law during the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Lee and we get that from other players. We're not just making that stuff up. But, Steve, may I suggest, Ayers, you got to make some plays now. You got
to
make some plays.
Just to give the folks a little bit of locker room atmosphere, right? So I go ask Ayers, say, hey, Rob, can I ask you a few questions? He says, when I finish getting dressed, no problem. Okay, great.
He's got a stare, too. He can stare you
down. Not everybody goes up to chat with Mr. Ayers, which is fine. So I go up to talk to him. You know, when I see he's clothed, or more fully clothed, but I saw he had a can of aerosol deodorant in his hand, right?
Uh-oh.
And so, you know, Ayers is like 6'4". You know, I'm like 5'8". That means I'm going to get sprayed in the face with
like a mosquito repellent?
Like a mosquito, exactly. So I'm waiting.
So you backed off.
So I backed off. I'm waiting for him to, you know, do what he's got to do. And another reporter swoops in and starts asking him questions. And Ayers, compliment to Ayers, he says, I'm talking to this guy first. I'm like, okay, nice. That's nice. And then the other reporter is standing there.
Gets a face full of
spray.
You got any video of that? You got to post it.
Ayers looks at me and says, you ready? I said, yeah, I was just waiting for the spray. I stepped back off.
And how was he when you talked to him?
No, he's fine. It was funny. Classic Ayers. He's like, I don't care that I played for the Giants before. None of that stuff means anything to me. I don't give a crap. But I asked him about losing Kwan. You know, see what he says. And he basically played along. He didn't say, well, we're not losing Kwan. He talked about what a great leader Kwan is, how passionate guy in the field, intelligent. And he, you know, of course, later in the answer, he dropped the next man up thing. But you could really tell that the loss of Kwan Alexander is a serious deal on this team, which you
wrote about. 0-5 without him, Lee, in their history, without that third-year line.
All right, Ira, the time has come. The time has come, and let me mention this stat first, though, because I wanted to mention this as a lead-in. Lee touched on it earlier on JoeBucksFan.com. The Giants are allowing 4.5 yards per carry. Terrible rush defense so far by the Giants. Now, you know what the Bucks rushing offense looks like. Okay against the Bears. Invisible. They barely even tried it against Minnesota. How does Dirk Koetter approach this game?
Got to get back to balance. Now, Koetter would say the game got away early, and it did to an extent.
Yeah.
Early third quarter, it was 28-3, right, Lee? After the Vikings scored an early third quarter touchdown. The fact is also, while we're all focused on a defense that didn't show up, Lee, after the Bucs' first drive, the next five possessions were four punts and an interception, Lee. The offense didn't have a very good day. They couldn't keep the ball. They had the ball for 22 minutes. They didn't run enough snaps. Peyton Barber, I'll throw it to you, Lee, did not get a single carry.
No.
After being the most effective Buck runner in week one. The Doug Martin meter seems to be inching a little bit to the right in terms of him making this roster, for New England week. And they got to get back to balance, Lee, because nobody's respecting those play actions, and you can't have Winston throwing 40, 45 passes. I don't think that's going
to
work.
Well, they have to get back to play action because Jameis has proven that at least now, at least as we speak, you know, the third week of the season for the Bucs, 2017, you cannot yet put the game on Jameis' shoulders. So, of course, they're not going to respect the run. I wrote this Monday morning, JoeBucksFan.com. Where was Peyton Barber? You can't tell me he couldn't do any worse than what was going on. You know, I understand why Dirk left the run game. Understandable. But you know what? The offense sputtered in preseason. I waved it off. It's preseason. I don't put much stock in preseason. Well, outside of turnovers, what did the Bucs offense do against the Bears? Nothing.
Right.
I'd say the first, 20 minutes of the game against the Vikings? Offense did nothing. Something's wrong with this offense. I don't know what it is, but it's the rush defense or the rush. There isn't what rushing game. There's no rushing game. I'll say this. If your boy Charles Sims gets a 3-yard gain up the middle Sunday against the Giants, you know the Giants defense is horrible.
And you'll buy me a steak dinner, too.
No. I'll buy you a hot pastrami at Lucky Dill.
There you go.
I don't know, Ira. It's going to be very, very interesting. I think Peyton Barber's disappearance, it could be, we don't know, could be a referendum on his pass blocking, which
–
you know, he said he was improved at. Koetter said he was arguably the most improved Buccaneer. But if you go back and watch that game, Jaquizz Rodgers and Charles Sims, the pass blocking from the running backs in that game was basically flawless. Flawless. And that's a good
Where's my 3 or 4 long balls to DeSean Jackson that I've been calling for?
Got picked
since
off, didn't
the
they?
Preseason.
One got picked off. Underthrown, that's a crime against crime against offense to underthrow DeSean Jackson like that against their cornerback who's struggling, the Marshall. I always forget that guy's name.
Yeah, but it wasn't Xavier Rhodes because he's busy. Yeah, busy on Evans.
It was against
that
the
was
other
a good
guy.
Battle.
A quick note from our vantage point here at One Buck Palace, where we're not supposed to be watching practice, and we're not. We're just sitting in a room where we're allowed. Well, I just want to make that clear because you know how this podcast is listened to all over the place. The Buccaneers just had half their Wednesday practice on the field, and then they marched in unison to the indoor practice facility where they're now practicing. So that's kind of interesting. Cutter splitting up the day. It's an option here. You know, some indoor practice facilities aren't necessarily right on the grass where you can just walk right in. So interesting that he's already using it.
It's muggy out there. Heat index is high.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ready to go over. It's air conditioned, but it's shade. It's shade.
Yeah, it's shade on a hot day for sure. All right, Kaufman, judgment day has come. Your pick for the Buccaneers game, I need a score.
I want to go back.
Not skull, but score.
Lee, I want to go back to what Isbeth said very early in this podcast. If you took us at face value last week with our picks, you went 0-3 because we all picked the Bucks to go into Minnesota. I'm sticking with the locals here. Steve, I know the Giants are desperate, but that was a very demoralizing loss to the Eagles because the Giants had staged a big-time comeback and taken the lead, and they lose on a 61-yard field goal. That's a tough way to go down. You know, Beckham awakened from a slumber, and that catches the attention of Buck fans. I understand that. But I think the Bucks have a better team than the Giants. Even a little bit undermanned, and the Giants got some injuries too. I think the Buck defense rebounds in a strong way, and the Bucks win this game 24-14, Mr. Isbitz. And our next podcast, I will be collecting that steak dinner from DeKemper.
Hot pastrami.
And talking DeKemper back in off the ledge.
24-14 Bucks. All right, Lee, in case you haven't seen it on Twitter, Lee, Javier, one of our, actually one of our only listener in Panama, most likely.
Wait a minute. You said I have several.
There's usually a few, but right, we're just going to give him the title now. Why not? Javier in Panama is keeping he's made a spreadsheet of all of our picks of the games so far, and it looks pretty good on Twitter, and I told him keep it up. We'll keep it going, and it's fun. So
I picked the Bucks twice, and I'm 1-1. So nothing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
By the way, I'm 3-0 in the fantasy league. Good.
Are you?
I don't know what I'm doing, but I had a big comeback. The Monday night game was a beauty for me because I had Larry Fitzgerald had a monster game, and Dak Prescott. So I'm 3-0. Now we're not even going to discuss me picking against the spread, DeKemper. That's ugly. Ugly. You know that 53% thing that he's holding over my head with Abe's place.
You're going to have to rally?
Major rally. Major rally.
A lot of time.
This is like Truman against Dewey. You guys, this big rally.
A lot of time. All right. Lee,
what's your pick?
Give us
there,
a score on your
Mr.
thoughts,
D?
Mr. D.
24-20 Giants.
Okay. Explain.
Bucks are beat to hell. Their offense isn't clicking. They've got no running game. Like I said, the memory of that MASH unit in Minnesota is seared in my brain.
You don't like the vibe.
Oh, I'll just tell you this about Noah Spence. I felt like a priest in a confessional. Noah Spence, we made eye contact. Hi, how you doing? And I was in full-blown injury mode because everybody knew the game was lost, so I'm writing about injuries. I sat outside the locker room. I was waiting to see that second cart, who that was for, and it happened to be for McCoy. I was like, wait a minute, they're pulling up a second cart? Like, what's going on here? And I said, help with the locker room. I'm going to stick around. This is the story. And it was McCoy. They shuffled him out. Noah Spence sees me. We start talking just very, you know, pleasantries. Next thing I know, Lee, first play of the game. First play of the game, I blew up my damn shoulder again. And he started he bore his soul to me. And I didn't even have my phone recording.
I don't even want to think about
that. Oh, he was just going on and on and like, holy cow, I've never had an athlete. The only athlete I've ever had come up to me and bare his soul almost to the point of crying was a guy, I can't remember his name, he used to pitch for the Rays. He was with the Phillies, and he wanted me to write an expose how his ex-wife took his money in alimony. But this was the case. I mean, Spence
didn't,
was
didn't Rachel Watson bear her soul? Was it her soul, Steve, after a particularly harsh Buck loss at the stadium?
She didn't bear anything. But I mean, it was just I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You know, obviously, I'm listening to Spence. And, like, wow. after he was done, I wanted to throw up because I felt so sorry
now,
for the guy.
Now, what do we think of Spence's status? For Sunday.
Well, again, we're sitting here. I don't want to dwell too much on it because we're sitting here without an injury report, and you know the fans will get to see
now,
that.
Jenna did put out on Twitter that he's walking around with a shoulder harness like he had last year.
Yeah, he might play with the harness again. I mean, he did it all. He knows how to do it.
How impactful would Spencer's absence be, Steve?
personally, I am not on the Spence bandwagon. I haven't been. I don't think he's a bad player, but I think his game leaves a lot to be desired. His absence, that depends if Robert Ayers shows up, because he's had two bad games. But you know what? Ayers, there's no hint that he's hurt. Can Ayers go in and play three quarters of the snaps and be very good on defensive end? Yeah, he just hasn't done it yet. So that, you know, I'm not that concerned.
All right,
Spence had told me was something very interesting in his confessional, for lack of a better term. he was telling me, he goes, Lee, he goes, I was working on these moves all summer. There's a couple of moves I knew would have worked. I know would have worked against the Vikings. I was ready to unleash these moves. I know I've worked on these.
And the first snap.
And he goes, the first snap, because I popped my shoulder back in. He goes, my arm was useless. I couldn't do any of these moves. I couldn't even try. I mean, like, he was on the point. I thought I was waiting for the tears to start coming. I've never had an athlete do that with me before. And like I said, I didn't even have my phone going. My phone is my recorder, by the way, for people listening. And so I didn't record it, and I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. The whole scene, I couldn't believe it.
Steve, it's up to you to snap this tie. Me and DeKemper are deadlocked here.
It's up to me. I'm going to go this route, Ira. First, can I give an asterisk? I feel like a moron picking a game without an injury report, because that's such a big deal. However, at least we know a couple of bucks are out. I believe... maybe I'm an idiot, but I believe in the home field advantage. That this team has found a home field advantage that's legitimate. Five in a row is not a joke. I think they're more comfortable. I think it ties a little bit to Jameis and some of the leadership and at home. So
stick carriers?
I don't know if the stick carriers are making a difference on the field yet, but I think the home field advantage is real for this team, which it should be. I mean, we're just so twisted by having the worst home record in the NFL over a handful of years, but it is around the NFL a legit home field advantage. And the Giants suck. I think they will be able to run the ball. There's no illnesses and issues on this offensive line. They should be able to push the pile.
See a little Peyton Barber, you would think.
I don't know. That's a mystery, because who knows what's really in the head of Dirk Cutter. But I think the Bucs will win this game. So we're going to give the Bucs a W, Ira.
And DeKemper will be off the ledge, right, Steven?
DeKemper will be off the ledge. Everybody will be happy.
We'll be back at the Lucky Dill.
I'm going 21-18.
18,
yes. Going with the 18. 21-18 Bucks. All right. So we'll see. We'll see. Feels good to see.
And when we next meet, we'll almost be ready for week four. Short week next week.
Yeah, with the Bella cheats.
But we'll reflect back on the Giants game, which is the first of two consecutive sellouts at Ray J. When's the last time we said that, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
And I have to say, I am flying to Vegas on Friday after your column comes out. I'm going to fly to Vegas and pick against all of your picks. I'm just going to go the other way.
You're better than that. You're better than that. No, he's not. No, he's not.
Okay, you used to be a Giants beat writer for UPI years ago. You got to have the Parcells ever growl at you before? You got to have a Parcells.
Well, I got a Parcells story. He was in charge of the Dolphins, like the head of administration, 1 year. And by the way, it happened to be the year that the Dolphins went from 1-15 to like 10-6. Mm-hmm. It still to this day might be the number one, you know, improvement, single season improvement.
Turnaround.
It was a big turnaround. Well, anyway. That year, the Bucs played the Dolphins. I think it was the first exhibition game. You know, they play every year. And so, you know, Roy and I and Martin, we go drive down to Miami, you know, morning of the game, across Alligator Alley. And, you know, we get there. Say the game's going to start at 7. We get there about 5. And we walk in, and we got the press elevator there. And so the three of us go in, and Parcells is there. And he gets in the elevator with a couple other people from the Dolphins organization. The doors close. Now, I covered Parcells for a year or two. I started with Perkins, and Perkins went to Alabama. Parcells took the job. He looks at me. I look at him. I go, and he lost a lot of weight at that time. Mm-hmm. At that time. And I go, Bill, your body's sculpted. What's going on there? Been doing a lot of running, Ira. A lot of running. Well, the elevator's going up. Maybe there wasn't enough oxygen. It went to my brain. And I said to Bill Parcells, who nobody talks like that, and I go, yeah, a lot of running, Bill. I heard mostly away from the media. And just at that moment, it reached the third floor where he was getting off. The doors open, bing, and Parcells walks out. And the three of us were still going up one more flight. And before the doors could close, Parcells walks out, turns around, and he goes, I miss you, Kaufman. And the door's closed. And off we go. And one of the guys from the Dolphin Digest or whatever goes, I can't believe you said that. The person, hey, he's just a guy. He's a Jersey guy. You got to be able to talk to him like that. Guy goes, nobody says that to Bill. He goes, yeah, I've been doing a lot of running, Ira. Yeah, away from the media from what I hear. And that's my favorite Parcells story.
All right, that's a good one. What better way could we end the podcast, Ira? Sage wisdom, sage stories.
You open with a Gruden impression, and you end up with a Parcells
story. You and the tuna. All right, Ira, everyone will see you Saturday. If you need all the details again, they're at the beginning of this podcast or on joebucksfan.com. Ira at the Italian.
I will be pressing the flesh and pressing the Italian meatball sub at the same time.
At Ed Morse Alfa Romeo in Brandon. It's free, free for all. It's both. It's free and it's a free for all. A feast. Sage Kaufman. We'll see you next week, Ira. Actually, we'll see you at the game. See you in the press box, stuff in your face.